This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Executive Vice President of the Dallas Cowboys. It is Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing well, and I know you prepped us for this the last week and a half, as so much can change depending on how the board looks. I know y'all discussed it a little bit last night, but for anybody who maybe didn't catch up, can you tell us about who was on the board originally at 24 that you might have been interested in and how things pivoted from there?
Yeah, it's not really fair to get on individual names because they're on, most of them are on teams. All of them are on teams now. And the four that we had targeted, and I can tell you we had four players up there. And, of course, we were five picks. We were going down five picks. So we needed at least one player not to be one of the four, and as it turns out, we were fortunate, so we were able to get one of the guys that we were more than happy to have. And then, of course, one of our goals, in addition to getting a top player for us, especially as it turns out, a left tackle, but was to pick up an additional pick. And turns out, we got a hell of a third round pick.
You know, Stephen, as I was driving home last night and listening to the press conference right here on 105.3, the Fan, home of the Dallas Cowboys, I heard the line from you: you gotta be patient and trust your board. And I was kind of curious about how on that building of the board, are you trying to predict what other guys are going to do and pick there? Is that what being on the phone is trying to navigate? All right, these guys between this pick and this pick, they're probably picking this.
No, our board's purely what we think.
Okay.
I know other teams may do it a little different, but it's purely the way we would pull them off. And certainly, players have similar grades, and there's a greater, you need a position more than others, which can always be the case. And, our philosophy is, if they're within a half a round of one another, then, you're good to go. But as we start to strategize and we – have our other analytics that predict what other teams may pick. Certainly there are players that either don't fit our system or we're not as high on that we know may still be on other people's boards. And, we factor that into our strategy. But our board's purely players that we want to be Dallas Cowboys.
Great. The other thing on Tyler Guyton specifically, what were the boxes that he checked off the most that you were like, that's what makes him our guy?
Well, I think let's start with the position. Obviously, he's a tackle. He's got he's got all the measurables, 6'7", 34-plus inch arms, 10-plus inch hands. He's a tremendous athlete. We call it green traits. Whenever you run in your three cones, your four cones, your 40, your 10, your 20, he's at the top of the class in all those. Why does a guy like that fall to the bottom of the first? He just, hadn't played a lot of football. He's played, started 14, 15 games. Certainly Tyler Smith fell into that category a little bit because of level of competition where he played at Tulsa. We just see when he transferred over to Oklahoma, certainly played in, a high-level program there, played at a high level. and we saw everything that we wanted to see. Certainly our scouts did their homework, visiting with the coaching staff there. They've had a lot of great tackles through there, you know, Lane and Trent, guys like that. You know, they put him in that same category, if not better athlete. So, you know, we just feel like we've got a player with a lot of upside. I know he loves the game. It's important to him. He's made great strides, you know, this year, in terms of how he plays the game. He wants to be good at it. He wants to be great at it. Certainly playing alongside Tyler Smith right there will be a huge plus for him.
And I think you just answered the question right there, but assuming everything goes to plan, you're like game one, this is our starting left tackle, yes?
Yeah, that was another plus. I mean, obviously, I don't want to put this on Tyler Smith, but it's a little bit like Larry Allen. We knew he moved out 1 year and played left tackle because he could, and he made all pro. Tyler would probably do the exact same thing. Certainly, though, Tyler was one of the best guards in the game last year, and his air is straight up, and, you know, this allows us to keep him right there, you know, where he just had a tremendous year last year, and we'll plug in right there at Guyton, and certainly, you know, one of the reasons we want to Chuma back is we all know he played winning football for us last year whenever we had injuries at different positions, and it's great to have him around, and then, of course, we got a stable of young guys that we have, you know, have put fourth and fifth round picks into, and, you know, start to feel really good about the way this offensive line's shaping up.
I only heard the audio. I didn't get a chance to see the video. Did you consider kicking Jerry under the table when he kept talking about how awesome Jonathan Brooks is?
But he did punch him. He did give him like an elbow.
Okay,
an elbow
yeah,
shake
yeah.
There. Yeah.
Jerry will talk about players. He'll show you our. He'll show y'all our board. He's been known to do a lot of different things. So, no, that's just Jerry. Certainly, Jonathan Brooks is a great kid, and you know, it's just you know, too bad for him that he, you know, had the injury. But he's a, you know, he's a determined man, and we all know, you know, it's not like the old days where. You know, that was a catastrophic type injury. There's been a ton of great players have an ACL and come back and, you know, be just as good, if not better, than they were before. I'm sure Brooks will be that same type of young man. But obviously, you know, he's dealing with that right now, not ready to play football yet. But he's certainly a guy that we think a lot of.
Whether it's Brooks or somebody else, if you were to draft a running back, would that – change any strategy at all or interest in bringing back Ezekiel Elliott?
No, I think, you know, this, you know, where we are right now, we're just trying to put together the very best roster we can put together. Obviously, losing Zeke a year ago, losing Tony Pollard this year, you know, we've got some backs there with Rico. We signed Freeman. But, you know, we want competition at every position. And I think, you know, Zeke's one of those guys who brings a lot to the table. He's a tremendous competitor. He laid it on the line for this organization for many years. He was one of the best backs, if not the best back, in the NFL over a you know, 7-8 year span. And he's a guy we have nothing but respect for. I know he loves the organization. And if there's something that, you know, we could work out with Zeke, we'd certainly look at it.
I realize the money's already spent. You wouldn't get it back either way. But does picking up a player that you're still paying dead money on also this year, does that indicate that it was a mistake to move on from him in the first place?
No, I don't think so. You know, we're talking about two different contracts in terms of the one he was under. And, you know, it wasn't guaranteed, but he was going to, you know, if we kept him, we were going to be paying him a lot of money that we couldn't necessarily allocate to Zeke at that point. So, you know, the deal looked different, you know, than the deal he was under if he were to come back here.
Well, Steven, we kind of talk a little bit on the show this morning like about it doesn't feel like this team does a lot of rebuild, but we came up with the word reload kind of. It kind of feels like there's always the draft gives you that great opportunity to do it. Does that feel like you got to really nail these next couple rounds here to fully reload with the philosophy y'all have kind of gone through with this offseason?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've been a draft and develop
develop our own, pay our own type of team. And I know sometimes people don't necessarily agree with it. Everybody's entitled to that. Of course, teams around the league, every team does it a little different. But yes, I mean, the draft's just begun. I mean, we've made one pick, and now we got seven picks left to go. And our work's just starting. And, you know, we've always put a lot of priority into our college free agents as well. So, you know, we still got, you know, a third of this team left to go get, at least 25% of it left to go acquire in terms of between our draft picks and our college free agents. You know, I still think we're going to add 25 players over the next 2 days. So we've got a lot of work to do. We feel like there's a lot of good players that can really help this Dallas Cowboy football team for the 2024 season and, you know, fired up about getting it done.
Especially considering for now you guys have three picks coming up in the second and third round. Are there any positions or positional groups, I guess, that y'all look at going into tonight thinking, man, that these positions particularly still have a bunch of talent there?
Yeah, there's still a lot of good players on the board. We'll get into, you know, which positions, but, you know, we still feel like, you know, there's a, you know, that's why it was good to get that pick. That was one of, you know, our goals going into yesterday was to come away with another, you know, third or fourth round pick. And we feel like there's a you know, a lot of good players in there that can really help this football team.
Go ahead, Kevin. Did you have...
It got officially announced. We all knew this was going to happen, that Micah Parsons' fifth-year option was picked up. Are you guys going to decline the fifth-year option of Trey Lance, or has that already happened?
We won't get into that. I mean, we'll kind of see how things go. But obviously, being a quarterback, we know how high those options are. I mean, it's more than likely that we won't pick it up.
Also, Kevin's really happy about extra picks.
Heck yeah.
He's a huge fan of that. We all are, I believe. But in that part of it, adding and getting that, does that help navigate if you want to move up into this in the second round? Does that help you there?
Yeah, I think, you know, to be candid with you, I think we're more inclined to go with numbers in this particular draft. The way we see the draft, certainly looking at our roster, you know, I wouldn't say it's never. Certainly the right guy's sitting there, and we can, you know, we can do something to get up and really get a guy that we think we weren't going to get an opportunity to get. But, you know, our goal was yesterday to try to pick up, you know, an extra pick or two. And certainly, you know, I wouldn't say unless it's a unique situation that we'll be looking to move up.
The other part, too, is last year, Micah, you know, he was – when we were watching him
– Guys, one more question. I hate to be short, but we've got a lot of things going on here.
Sure, go for it.
Oh, yeah. I was just asking if Micah last year, he was beating up on a lot of the offensive line at training camp, and I was just kind of curious on your excitement to see the battle between Tyler and Micah whenever we get out to Oxnard.
Oh, absolutely. We just – you know, Micah is a hell of a competitor. As you know, he did wreak havoc in training camp. And Tyler's going to be welcome to this league in a hurry when he's going up against the likes of a Micah, a D-Law, a Sam Williams. He's going to find out real quick what it's like in the NFL.
All right. Appreciate the time very much, good sir, and all the information.
All right, guys. Great being on.
There you go. Steven Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. One of the things I did like, I know it's not specifically about the draft, is he goes, we might not get into the specifics about Trey, but then said, it's probably likely that we will turn down the fifth-year option there. I can't say that's particularly surprising.
What else has he got going on? I mean, that's what
the
I don't
draft!
Understand. What's he doing? The draft? What do you mean, Kevin?
He told you we just got an extra pick.
And free agency.
The draft, though, that's the part where he's like, now I got an extra pick. I got to go figure out how to spend that pick. Is that what you do whenever you get extra money, Kevin? Whenever you're like, oh, my gosh, I just got this, you know, let's
think about how I'm going to save it or what I'm going to eat.
Do you think that we should talk to him during free agency?
Yeah.
I know what you're doing right now. I'm trying to figure out
where you think he's not going to be busy then?
He's got all
I knew that's what you were getting at. I knew that's what he was getting at. So, by the way, Cowboys 56th pick, 73rd pick, 87th pick, streaming right here tonight with the 105.3 The Fan stream. You can hear it on the Odyssey app. as well. And so that's your opportunity if you want to check that out. But also, good answer to your question right there. He does not anticipate a trade up, although
yeah, that's
he
really
said unique circumstances could lead to that.
I mean, let's be honest. They didn't sign anybody in free agency. They have a lot of holes to fill. They can't
absolutely
they can't trade up. They're like, look, we don't do free agency. We don't whether have the money, yeah. want to spend it, whatever. It's like, look, we really need 17 picks to try to fill all of our spots.
And that was like the specific reason I asked that was because, look, if I really want something, I'm probably not even thinking about moving to get it because I do need to fill the roster spots. I think the biggest thing, though, is, as this person said, Stephen just, he didn't give Mike a chance to ask a question. And that
was, that what was, yeah, that was really, you had a bunch of questions lined up, did yeah. you?
He knew they were coming at the end there. He was like, Mike's look, about to hop in on yeah. this. I got to go.
That's all that kept you from asking those questions.
Yep.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind going forward. We'll rotate the way we ask questions.
Somebody just said, why doesn't Mike ask questions? And that's why, because they're always like, we got to go before Mike gets yeah. to them. So, and I think it's a good strategy on their part because he asked the tough questions.
That's a take. From the 580, shout out to my wife battling first trimester sickness as she carries our child. I'm so proud of you. Shout out to all of the ladies out there getting work done for their kiddos and carrying their kiddos. I can't do it.
Reggie, if you just had the mm-hmm. section that he said, mm-hmm. it sounded like thanks for getting all that plastic surgery, ladies.
What?
That's what I heard.
I didn't mean like
thanks that
for getting
kind
all that
of work done, ladies.
He's here. The man has arrived.
Thanks for the BBLs.
All okay. the work he did, and okay. he got a well, baby.
Now I feel bad
if
about
you thought
what I
had too many
him.
Questions for Steven. What's Man. Coming up next?
Mike will be back in about 30 minutes. Coming up next, we will dive back into the draft with Zach Wolchuk, and hopefully he will not reveal what I texted him while he was driving up here. We will do that
Please do
next
it.
In more of your shout-outs on 105.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. What we got from Steven, they are unlikely to activate the fifth-year option on Trey Lance. Can't say that's a particular surprise. And he doesn't envision them trading up in the draft, but as we've talked about, that can always be in flux.
Absolutely, it could change at any point, but he's saying, and again, they painted themselves in this corner. They put themselves in this position. They have to fill out their roster in certain ways, and it's in out of the bargain bin, and that's the way they're going to have to do it. But that's the philosophy that they've gone with. Like he said, not a lot of people love it, but that's where we are at the moment, so that's where it is. Now, Kevin, I think we have to ask the question, who do we get with all those picks?
I think that's a great question. We will bring on the man who will be included in Shout Out Friday. It is Zach Wolchuk. By the way, I got some other shout outs, and then we'll come back to how awesome you are from the 817.
Oh, is that what you think?
Did he put you on hold?
That's right.
Damn. He was like, you're
shout
on hold.
Shout out to me, Tolo Ted, turned 59 on Monday. Let's go shout out.
Oh, was
there.
That a shout out to you from Tolo Ted?
No, that's a shout out to Tolo Ted for having his
for
birthday.
Himself. Gotcha. Okay.
From the 214, shout out to me for being nominated for the U.S. President's Volunteer Service Award for the third time in 6 years. Let's go. And shout out to the man who's balancing having the little baby at home, doing G-Bag Nation, dominating on draft coverage last night. And in studio with us right now, Zach Wolchuk.
I appreciate the kind words there, Kevin, but I don't think that you really feel that way, considering the fact that I said, hey, I'm on the way, I'm hustling, I just had to help with the baby, and you said, yeah, you're a little B-word.
He did say, you did text him that. And I didn't.
I made it right on time.
What did I text?
I was flying. You said, whoa.
Yeah,
Corey
was,
had my back.
I was caught off guard by the aggressive nature of Kevin's text.
I mean, my gosh, it's all the reality TV you're watching.
I know. It's Bachelor in Paradise. We talked about it. There's this one scene on Bachelor in Paradise where this dude walks up to another dude, raises a glass, and he goes, hey, cheers to you being a bitch. And I just thought
oh
it was
gosh.
Amazing.
Did you say
I just thought
that?
It was amazing. I don't always respond in these things. And I was like, oh, this will be shocking to get
it
the
was shocking.
Going.
But now, I did laugh.
You did, no BS, you did an excellent job last night.
Yes.
What I'm curious about as we head into today, now that the Cowboys picked up a third-round pick, first of all, what did you think about the trade from the Cowboys' perspective in terms of you lose Barton, you did get a hell of a value there, picking up a probably round higher pick than I would have guessed for that drop down.
Yeah, in the moment, like, it's tough, right? Because we're so passionate about the draft, and we've spent so much time studying these players. You get invested in your feelings and how we see some of these players. And Graham Barton was my guy. I mean, he's been my guy this entire time. I thought he would be a perfect pick, and I didn't think he'd even be there at 24. So for him to be on the board, to me, it was like, take him. Just take him. He's mean. He's nasty. He's smart. He's going to fill a void that really you haven't had since Travis Frederick. I know Tyler Biadasz technically made a Pro Bowl and is
right.
a good player, but he's not, you know, one of those difference-making centers, in my opinion. I thought Barton could be that guy, but when you go back and you look at it, it's like one of those things, man, where to get the extra pick, they clearly came in with the vision of we want to move back. I think that was the goal. And when they looked at who was on the board, clearly they said they had a cluster of four players. They moved back five picks. I didn't think, and I know that you guys have talked about this when it comes to Detroit, because I think they lack a fourth rounder, and that's why we were looking at they don't really have the ability to make a trade like that. That's not one of the teams we were looking at. So to get the over-evaluation of an extra third, so now you've got three picks now in the top 87 coming in to tonight, that's exciting. And to get Guyton, where I think that's really good value for him, I saw him at the bottom of the first round, early second. To me, it was him and Kingsley Suamatia of BYU as the best tackles left. I think Guyton's got tremendous upside. I really do. Is he a little bit raw? Does he have some things he needs to work on? Sure. But the attitude in which he plays with, I mean, you saw him in the Texas game. He's hustling down the field to make a block 30 yards down the field running with the running back. I mean, the guy's fantastic in terms of the effort. You can tell he loves to play the game. The size that he has with his athletic ability is a rare, rare blend. He's a freak. And I think it's just some of the little technical stuff, much like with Tyler Smith when they drafted him, that they need to just kind of fine-tune. But the upside's tremendous with him. So when I take a beat, you take a step back, you get Guyton, who was one of the best left tackles left, and I do think there's a drop-off after him, then you get the extra third. I think they came away with a great day at the office, but I certainly was bummed to not land Graham Barton.
I don't know how much detail you have on this because you're not particularly in on the interviews, but you know, guys, when it comes, you just brought up Tyler Smith, and when it comes to, I know Zach Martin's still with us.
Yeah.
For how long, we don't know.
I hope he doesn't pass away.
Anymore. No, and I don't mean it that way, but
we need him to play for at least two more years, too, with that contract.
But when it comes to leadership on that offensive line, do you feel like that personality, Sean used this line, I thought it was great, maybe it was Bobby this morning, the Monday to Sunday professionalism and what it takes to work each day to get to that at the end of the week, Do you think it's Tyler that's the next in line to take that on, or is Guyton one of those guys that has that personality too? I just don't know.
I think that that's something that's very important to Will McClay and the scouting department when they go ahead and evaluate these guys is the work ethic along the offensive line. I think that's why they've had so much success with their first round picks. I think Guyton is that guy that's going to come in and put the work in, I think it is Tyler Smith.
Okay.
Tyler Smith, I mean, as soon as he came in as a rookie and you listen to him talk, I mean, the intelligence, just the way that he kind of just sees football and life, it's a little bit different for, I mean, we've talked about that with like Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford with the Rangers, right? I mean, for how young he is, he kind of has like an old man's soul about him.
Can he start better than they have this season, though?
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I knew I could get
Rangers are back segment. In, Mike.
I knew I could get you back in on this segment.
One of them came in as a 21-year-old and helped win a championship.
I said this season.
The answer is no.
I knew I could draw him in.
Okay, that's great information. I really appreciate that.
You'll bleep yourself, Mike.
Because not just the Cowboys that you were covering here, but at my Pluckers last night, and all of us were out at Pluckers while you were doing.
How many did your Pluckers get right?
There was one point we missed six in a row, but we had gotten like seven in a row before that. So I think that I have it at home. We only missed on like nine. Don't worry about why.
That's all right. Awesome.
Yeah.
My guys are all pretty good.
Were you following Jordan Schultz a little bit?
Don't worry. Hey, listen. No, but we just have really. Again, I told you there were people there. This is a really cool part. They were like, I've been here for the last 8 years. We come do this every year, or I've been doing this for 6 years. There are tables there that have been coming back to our fan party every year.
That's
so
awesome.
It was really cool. But one of the things that a lot of people were kind of like all over the place about was where all these offensive linemen were going to go. One of the first ones we got wrong was a lady came up and said the Chargers are going to take J.C. Latham. You know, I love Latham. I think he's fantastic.
That was our pick and ours too.
But yeah. I was like, no, they would take Alt over him, and then that happened. So where these offensive linemen landed, was that close to where you felt they all should go? Or because there was one of them, particularly the Oregon State tackle, that I was like, oh, man, I would have taken him even higher than that. Did they all kind of land where you thought they would?
I think that for the most part, yeah. I mean, I wasn't surprised that Alt ended up being the first guy. Mims was interesting.
Yes.
Like, where was Amarius Mims going to go? And it was funny when Brian started breaking that down, like the Bengals scouting department, they don't really care about how many games you've played. They're basically just looking at the physical talent.
Can you do it?
But yeah, and like Mims is one of those guys. Like Mims can end up being maybe the best tackle of this draft. Now, if you go back and you look at the Bengals' track record, most of those guys don't end up panning out.
Right.
It might not be a good place for him to go. But for the most part, yeah, I was a little bit surprised that Fuaga slid a little in Fautanu from Washington. Like, that was the guy, oh my goodness, him and Barton are still hanging around.
Fuaga was the one that I was like,
I know.
I loved him.
Yeah, Fuaga was my number one
mean
tackle.
Mean streak, dude.
Oh, so mean and super, super athletic. So he's a fun player, but him to slide was surprising. But I did think if you had Troy Fautanu from Washington end up sliding to 24, I wonder if they trade back
the
there.
Okay.
I think he might have been the guy that they said, you know what, bleep it, we're staying in here and picking this guy.
Now,
Spencer Rattler to the Falcons in round two. Is that what you're about to ask, Evan?
Round two?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Kirk Cousins, Penix, and Rattler.
I would kind of love the Falcons to do something crazy like this. This would be great.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was making a joke.
What if the Cowboys go ahead and get a little reckless here?
Actually, that would be kind
of... You know, maybe Spencer Rattler to the Cowboys.
That would be
Michael Pratt
for talking points.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about Micah saying, well, we needed left tackle depth? Did he not know
Okay, so I heard the audio of it. I was driving home and I was listening to CA and Blake, and then I saw the clip this morning as I was prepping for G-Bag. Micah did not look happy.
No.
And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean, in the moment, like, I'm trying to kind of cover up my real-life Graham Barton disappointment.
Yeah.
But, like, then it's okay. You know, you realize kind of you step back, big picture. Like, Micah, this is your teammate, dude. You can't really just show us all how upset you are that you don't really love this pick right now.
He doesn't know that, man. What you mean this is a teammate?
It's
not
his
yet.
Teammate.
Not yet.
It is. Today,
oh, wow.
Tyler Guyton's at the Star. He's got a jersey. That is Micah Parsons' teammate.
And I imagine if you talk to Micah today, the face might be a little bit different.
Yeah, he'd fake it.
That's right.
When do you become a teammate, Reggie? Are you saying you have to play next to a guy to be a teammate with him first?
Let's talk to Mike. Mike, you've had a lot of teammates. Like, at what point did you feel that teammate bond with a guy? Just immediately when y'all were actually on the same team, or when you met him, got to know him?
Met him, got to know him.
In your face, Corey!
I was just asking a question. You didn't dunk on me like that, bro.
but I wanted to.
I like it.
We've heard about...
Gosh, Reggie's dunking on us
right
now. He did.
That's what he does, man.
We've heard about Cooper as a potential. Obviously, Jerry wants nothing more in the world than the draft. Brooks, what are in the second round?
Oh, my gosh. Tell me you don't love Jonathan Brooks, huh?
What are some of the names that you want to look out for or you think the fans should look out for either in the second or the third round?
Yeah, I think certainly Jonathan Brooks is going to be in play for the Cowboys. Now, does he make it to 56? I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that he's probably the consensus number one running back for most teams. I do think center is still in play here. Whether that ends up being Zach Frazier from West Virginia, Jackson Powers Johnson, I don't think was in consideration in the first round. If he keeps sliding, especially if he makes it to the third, I think then he definitely is in play. The other two names would be Hunter Norzad from Penn State and then Van Pran, the center from Georgia. In the third round, I think that really, really intrigues me because Van Pran is a big, powerful player. All of a sudden, you look at Guyton, Tyler Smith, Van Pran, Martin. You can really have a mash unit up front if you were to add that type of physicality. So
hold on one second. What do you think? What do you think about Powers Johnson? Because that is somebody like at least a week out, you've seen get mocked to the Cowboys in the first round, and you're saying that's definitely too high.
Well, I think the issue with Powers Johnson is the tape's really good. What we've kind of understood now is there's a medical red flag on him. Some teams have like a personality flag, like off the field character concerns as well. So I don't know, I don't have the information on what exactly the character concerns are. There also is stuff with, hey, the board work. From a center, you want him to have a high IQ. That's why Barton, you knew he was a guy that was smart. Powers Johnson, is he able to be able to check and make all the reads of the line of scrimmage? I think that's why he might be slipping a little bit. But I also do love like a guy like Christian Haynes out of Connecticut is a name to watch out for. But I think ideally you're going running back at some point. I'd like to wait to the third round, which would mean you don't get Jonathan Brooks. I think they might just be so enamored with him. They find a way to make that happen. I think that's where you start to look at a Jalen Wright from Tennessee. Maybe Trey Benson from Florida State slides. I think they do like Bucky Irving from Oregon, who's a little bit smaller, but is a really, really exciting playmaker. So I think linebacker is also in consideration, center, and then running back. I think those would be the three spots that I'd look for them to attack. And if it's linebacker, I think it does also end up being one of those two third-round picks. I'd like to go center in the second and then go running back, linebacker in the third.
Do you think, and I hear everything you're saying, but Steven again last night was talking about, man, Brock Hoffman's the man, and whatever happens, it's going to be a hell of a competition. Do they feel that same need as perhaps we do?
Maybe. I think, yeah, because I do believe that Graham Barton was one of the guys that they were considering. And look, Graham Barton could also play guard, and I think he could be a really damn good guard. But ideally, you're playing him at center. So to me, I think that if they can upgrade the spot, and he mentions competition, and they know better than anybody how important offensive line depth is, right? You've got to be able to have guys that can come in and play when you have injury. TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman both had to do it for them last year. So I don't think you can go in with just saying we've got Brock Hoffman. Maybe TJ Bass has some center flex. And look, Brock Hoffman, granted, it's the last game of the season against some backup defensive linemen against Washington. But Brock Hoffman played a really, really good game. I do believe they actually like him. And if they did have to go into the season with him starting, I don't think they'd feel as bad about it as a lot of us fans would feel about it. But I think that center is still definitely a big-time need for them.
Does Mike Zimmer, does he get any projects?
That's, I think the linebacker. I do think corner is quietly a sneaky need for this team.
Interesting.
You know, because when you think about it.
Jordan Lewis is never healthy.
Well, Jordan Lewis isn't healthy, and he's on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Right? And then Deron Bland's a guy. I know we've talked a lot about the Dak deal, the CD deal, the Micah deal. You look up, Deron Bland's going into year three of a four-year contract. We're going to have to start to talk about Deron Bland.
He was your second-leading receiver in touchdowns last year.
And with Diggs coming off. So, I mean, behind those three guys, who do you have? Nashawn Wright and Eric Scott Jr.?
Yeah.
So, corner, if there was a guy that they value, could be. I mean, TJ Tampa out of
Eric
Iowa
Scott
State.
Jr. turns into something.
Trade Nashawn Wright to Washington for a second-round pick.
Maybe.
Done.
Eric Scott's a guy that I know Dan Quinn liked a lot. They traded up to go get him. Maybe Eric Scott's a guy you could trade to Washington.
And on the topic of contracts, how much did yesterday's A.J. Brown deal hurt the ongoing CeeDee Lamb saga.
Kevin, I'm just waiting on the leaves to fall on this one.
They're falling!
Are they, though? You know, I think we're going to be just fine in this. CeeDee's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid like the highest wide receiver in football until Justin Jefferson gets paid. Because I do think they'll get it done.
Let's wait for Justin Jefferson.
I think they'll get it done before Jefferson.
My goodness, I hope so.
You're right, I'm being foolish, Mike.
It'll happen after this sit-in happens in Oxnard for about 10 days.
There you go. All right.
And Ezekiel Elliott's coming back.
Yes! Yeah, baby!
That's going to happen.
I'm convinced it's not.
I think it's happening.
And here's the reason why. And maybe they were being coy last night, but whenever they did have that conversation about him last night, it sounded to me like they were like, look, man, we got screwed over by his agent before, and we had a conversation, and we happily said, thank you for your time. Good luck.
With Rocky?
We had a couple beers. We'll move on.
Good old Rocky Arsenal. Maybe. Yeah. I think Zeke Rocky wants to be here. I think Zeke will take veteran minimum. And honestly, as long as they still draft a running back tonight, I don't mind having Zeke back because he's a great locker room guy, and I think he's at a place in his career where he is totally going to embrace a mentorship-type role for that guy.
If the Cowboys aren't able to draft a wide receiver, any chance Dez Bryant comes back? He's still in his 30s.
You know what? I've actually been talking with Alvin Harper a lot lately.
Oh, my gosh.
He's past his prime.
No, I don't think so. Alvin Harper can still run a 9 route. He's got sneaky speed for his age.
How old is Dez?
Ridiculous.
36? 35?
I think Dez might be 35.
There's been plenty of receivers that have played in this league at 35 years old. Now, let's say when they sign Dez back after the draft's over on Saturday, what number does Dez wear? Does Dez get 88 back, or does CeeDee Lamb have to change his number?
Zach, you're a professional radio broadcaster. You do not have to engage with him on this. That's all I'm saying.
This is a fun hypothetical.
For him.
It could happen.
I mean, I'm a Dez being
flying. Zeke is coming back.
Throw up the X.
Stop it.
If you threw up, is there any way he could just get the number? Instead of the number, the letter X. He could be the first ever player to have a letter as a number, but he's a Roman numeral, so it works.
In fairness, I mean, has he retired? Maybe we could just get a game, just a retirement game.
No, he's ready.
Guys, it is a shout-out Friday from the 972. Shout-out to my amazing wife, Jenny. Her birthday was on Monday, but I know Monday's not a shout-out day, Corey, so I waited until today to throw the shout-out in there. That is very, very good.
Ooh, I want to shout-out my amazing wife, too, Maya, because she's been awesome with the baby. And last night, I came home, and she let me sleep through the night without waking up.
Oh, that's
and
a big deal right
Eliza.
There.
Ooh, that was tough. That was pretty clutch on her part.
From the 903, shout-out to you guys. I've been struggling with mental health problems, and listening to y'all during the day helps me a lot. Keeps me grounded and puts me in a different, better place with my head. So thank you and keep up the awesome work. What a delightful shout out right there. You had a delightful shout out as well. Shout out to you for helping us out with this segment.
Of course, guys. Anytime you need it, always here for you. I can't wait for all the things that Mike wants to talk about. Go Rangers, and I hope the Stars can finally win.
Now it's Mike Likes It. Don't ask Mike. He thinks they're going to get swept.
Stars are cooked. All right.
I agree.
So. Let's talk about people playing sports.
Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about it.
Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really talked much about them today.
True.
I am pumped up for this game. I'll ask you guys this question. How big is this game? It's a best of five series now. Yeah. Obviously, you can say you have home court because you have games 3, 4, and 6. Will this game, you asked this earlier, if we've changed our mind, let's just say, I'm going to throw this out, because I do think this is a very important game. If the Clippers are able to win this game tonight, it's a 2-1 series, still very close, obviously. What are your thoughts if the Clippers are able to sneak back in here and win a game and get home court back?
I will shift my prediction to Mavs in 7, but I still think the Mavs are going to win, even if they lose the game tonight. However, if the Mavericks win the game tonight, then obviously it gives you a lot of confidence going into game 4 that maybe you could not end the series, but like really put the clamps on them.
They close it down in 6, man.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
If something like that happens, just bounce back. Mavs go, okay, we've seen everything you got. We have more chess than you. Now, I don't think Reggie agrees with me because he thinks that because Tyronn Lue's your king. And he
Your words, not mine.
Yeah, I've always said that, though. And so I think Reggie believes that Tyronn Lue's a pretty good chess player, too.
100%. How? And yeah. he's known to keep things in his pocket, so I imagine they're going to continue seeing different looks. But I will have noted, I started with Mavs in seven.
Okay.
I remain with Mavs in seven.
How easy or difficult do you think it will be for the Mavs to match the defensive intensity and focus they had in game two?
I actually believe they will. It will be surprisingly easy for them. Normally, most of the season, I might not have said that, but one of the things that Luka said immediately in the aftermath of game two, and he was like, and that's great, but I got to keep it up.
Okay.
I think they will be able to match that. What do you think?
I think it's going to be difficult because they haven't really done that in their history. I know it's a short history together, but we've seen them at times lackadaisical on defense. Now, they did a much better job the last 2 months of the season, but I just wonder, that was the most engaged I've ever seen all guys on the court at all times for the Dallas Mavericks in this Luka generation.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, can they continue? Can they continue this? Because if they can, they can get to the Western Conference Finals.
Agreed.
But I'm optimistic and hopeful, but there's also part of me that goes, so if somebody does it one time like that in one playoff game, everybody that engaged, why should I believe that they are going to do it now, tonight, Sunday? I don't know if they're Tuesday or Wednesday in LA, but like, you understand what I'm saying? Somebody can show you one time. I threw 91 miles an hour at one time. If you believed I was going to throw 91 miles an hour the next pitch, you're a moron.
You said that gun was broken, though.
Yeah, I told my agent when he's like, hey, the Blue Jays really like you. They have you topping off at 91. And I'm like, I can't sign with them because I don't do that. The gun was broken or it got a bad read somehow. And they're going to be really upset with me when I get there and I'm throwing 84 to 88. I know who I am. I know what I do. I don't throw 91. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, every once a while in a blue moon it would happen, but yeah. I can't tell you why or how it happened. Some guys that pitch can tell you why or how, and they know how to get that extra 2 miles an hour on a pitch that they need right there to maybe get it by the hitter. I was literally trying to throw it 100 miles an hour every time I released a fastball. Sometimes it said 84, and a few times it said 90 or 91. But I can't tell you why or how that pitch was 84 and that pitch was 90.
Interesting.
So, me either.
All right, next one. Have we had any updates on Gafford now that we're closer to game time?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't seen anything.
Like, since we heard yesterday,
it's questionable, right? Like, they had shoot around today, right? They had some sort of a morning walkthrough shoot around, and I don't know if Brad Townsend or whoever is covering for TNT or whatever is at practice and wondering.
Brad Townsend said an hour ago, Gafford at least was on the court and walking fine during brief media window and to shoot around, but Mavs still list him as questionable. I'm sure they'll try to guard his status just prior to the game. So
okay, and maybe you put him through a little bit of a 5 p.m., kind of a little bit of a workout.
Yeah.
And just make sure that it doesn't spasm, tighten up his back. And, you know, I really need him to give me 15 to 20 quality minutes tonight. Okay. And I'm not saying it has to be a double-double, but it just has to be an impact where he has a block shot or two. He adjusts.
I get that.
A drive to the basket. You know, he has, if you only have six fouls, and what I mean by that is Derek Lively has six fouls, and you take away the six other possible fouls that you kind of have to defend the rim, that hurts. Because if he can't play and Derek Lively starts, and this was a good job by the Mavericks, it mattered a little bit. But you were able to, in game two, what was a key in the first quarter? In the first 3 minutes, you picked up two fouls on Zubac. And now they have to go to Plumlee, and he did okay. But yeah,
but it's not the same.
If you have Derek Lively, and they pick up two fouls in the first 3 minutes on Derek Lively, and you don't have Gafford, and then Kleba comes in, and let's just say he picks up two fouls in 6 minutes. So now there is approximately 3 to 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Are you going super small ball? Are you going to Dwight Powell? We've seen Dwight Powell in the playoffs. Like, it is all of a sudden you're kind of 4-on-5 in those situations. So that's where I need. I'm really hoping that Gafford's back is okay to give me at least 15 minutes tonight. some quality situations, and at least he can use 3 to 4 fouls.
Yeah, that would be a huge lift for this team for the remainder of the series, too, if he can manage something like that.
So I'm sure everybody was locked in on the draft last night. I turned my focus to the late game, the Nuggets and the Lakers.
Bet you loved it.
I did love it. I will tell you this, and this is too high a praise. Michael Porter Jr. is turning into a star.
Wonder who told you about that.
I'm not saying a superstar, but I think that like top 25 player in the league, I think he's pushing himself towards 25.
Okay.
I'm not pushing him into the top 10. I'm not pushing him into the top 20. But I'm starting to go, boy, if you name me 30 players better than Michael Porter Jr., I start going, gosh, I think I can have a debate at least with you at about at 25.
He is a good player when he plays. This is the first season he's been healthy, and he's had a very good season.
I think he's, and I realize that I have the bit, right? Michael Porter Jr. better than RJ Barrett. That remains to be the case. However, he needs a very specified role as well. Like he's not a guy who can be put in that place of being the number one option on the night.
I'm with you. If you build around Michael Porter Jr. as your number one, you're going to be in the lottery every year. Yeah. I'm with you. But
for what he's asked to do,
he is making so many clutch contested shots in this series. He's the one who hit the three in game two that really kept them connected. Last night, there were so many tough shots off the dribble, and I'm just like, dude, this dude is locked in right now. Now, maybe he can get cold, and obviously it's Jokic's team. Murray's the number two, but sure. Man, him and freaking Aaron Gordon, I don't know how, and with Caldwell Pope, to me, watching last night, one, I don't know how anybody beats the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference, and then Boston losing to Miami. Maybe Denver's going to repeat his champs.
That was crazy.
Is what do the Lakers do? They're about to get swept, and if not, they're going to lose in five. They are $40 million over the cap next year. So if you're a Lakers fan and you don't follow rules, and you're just like, well, we just get everybody we want at all times, well, it's almost impossible. You're literally, as long as LeBron picks up his $51 million option, and if he doesn't, he's still going to want $50 million. He just might do a 2-year, $100 million deal. You have nothing. You don't have anything you can add to your team. So, I guess you can add Bronny James. But at this point, if you're the Lakers and you're really trying to win, you know that you're a play-in team. It's now been proven. That's what you are. With this group of guys, you're a play-in team. Last year, you did make it to the conference finals. Hey, great job. I don't want to say it was luck. LeBron is one of the greatest of all time. But it doesn't look like that's repeatable.
I agree.
Because you're not going to win enough games in the regular season. You're always going to be a road team. And it's going to be very tough to move through the Western Conference. So I just look at the Lakers and I go, gosh, I wonder what they're thinking in their front office. Do you go, look, we got LeBron, we sell out, we're the Lakers. We're just going to run it back because we have no other choice. And we're just going to get a 7-10 seed, probably make the 7 or 8 seed, get our butt hammered, and then go home.
Trade LeBron to the Mavericks.
We don't have. I'm going to be honest.
For nothing.
I looked into that last night. Oh. That's why I know he's at $51 million. Because I do think, one, Jason Kidd would love it. To Mark Cuban, I know he doesn't really have anything to do with it, would love it. Nico knows LeBron probably pretty well through Nike, would probably want to do it.
Luka Kyrie and Luka,
I think, would want it. The issue is I have to come up with $50 million approximately with no draft picks to send to the Lakers. It's not going to work.
He signed Dwight Powell to a big extension, right? And then just trade him straight
up. So I did. You asked the silly question. I, honest to God, did without you even knowing.
I'm glad you did.
I did look into that going, does LeBron want to keep doing this? Does he want to? And maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't care, as in he has all the records. He has the championships. He's on the most popular team basketball-wise in the world. And I'm like, but does he want to just keep winning 42 to 43 games?
And
there's nothing he can do to improve it.
Yeah.
So I was just... I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what the Lakers do after they get there. But swept again.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it is a shout-out Friday. We'll get to more of yours. And it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh, my gosh, Kevin. So many things to discuss in the C Block, including what Mike just did next on the fan.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.